This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Life-saving vessel, or are we a cruise ship? Type of question. Where are we in the picture? And if you missed out on that, please have a listen to that. It's going to bless you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure of the revelation of Jesus Christ, this treasure of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, the good news, this treasure we have in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So right from off the bat, you know, when we listen to Phil's message from last week, there's a challenge there, because we recognize this is something that is not, we don't find it almost natural. It's something that we have to be deliberate about. It's something that we have to work at. It's something that we have to wrestle through a bit. And right from the start, we recognize we're going to have to be dependent upon God on this mission, on this endeavor. We're going to have to trust God. We're going to have to depend on His grace. We're going to have to receive His grace for every moment. The Scripture says that there's an abundance that He has made, provision, an abundance for every good work. We're going to have to grab a hold of that provision for every good work. And we, you understand what I'm saying? We recognize that this call is not a light one. We're gonna need His grace. We're gonna have to be dependent upon Him. And I love this picture that this is a treasure that we carry, but the vessel is fallible. The vessel is an earthen vessel, and it's maybe cracked, and maybe not. It's not perfect. It's maybe a little bit broken on the one side. It's got some holes in it. We are imperfect vessels, but it has to be like that so that the focus can be on the treasure and not on the vessel. That the glory and the power is of God and not of us. That we can from the start recognize this is an impossible task if it's going to be me trying to do it in my own strength or my own flesh, and that I have to trust in Him to do that work in and through me. Are you with me? So we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the glory, the power, the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, a part of that dependency is what I want to actually talk about this morning, is that we recognize this is not a me thing. I need the Holy Spirit. I need God. I need His power. I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And one step further, I want us to look at how Paul writes about this in Ephesians from verse chapter 4. Now, we read about this 2 or 3 weeks ago. We mentioned this scripture when we spoke about specifically about being blown to and fro and different kinds of doctrines and being confident of what God has called us to do and be getting busy with life. And I want to read it again, and I want us to actually look at the context that he brings in a bit later on, because that really brings it together with what we're talking about this morning. But let's start at verse 11 again, as we did the other day. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. And this is the NLT, the New Living Translation. Apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So we spoke about that dynamic, that the ministers, these fivefold ministers, as we call them, their job is primarily to equip us, all of us here, to do the work of the ministry, to do His work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until, so this building up and this equipping to minister, this equipping to do ministry, this equipping to do His work, will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord. So we touched on that the maturity doesn't come before the ministry. Actually, we minister and we work and we grow as we mature, right? so that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. And then I want to take it on to the next bit. He gives a little bit of a context of how that should happen. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So it's for me very pertinent that he talks about the fivefold. He talks about the role of the fivefold ministers of equipping the saints. And then he gives the context of saying the whole body fits together. That we are meant to work together as the whole body. That all of this process, all these processes that we've been talking about now, is in the context of the whole body that fits together perfectly. Each part does its own special work, helps the other parts grow. Can you see that dynamic? This is not me on my own there on the side doing stuff that I think this is the Great Commission. This is a family thing. This is a thing that we take hands, that every part does its bit. We help each other grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Can you see the dynamic that he introduces here? And I want to dig into a little bit more into that this morning. How does that look like in the whole thing that we're wrestling through, the theme of evangelism and discipleship? Last week, Philip spoke more in the line of evangelism. This week, I want to touch on this concept of discipleship in the context of the family. And now, discipleship is when you and I choose to position ourselves deliberately, to take action, to learn, to change, to grow for a specific, to follow somebody specific, to follow their actions, to become more like them. In our context as Christians, our discipleship happens because we follow Jesus. Amen? We want to be more like him. We want to grow. We want to flourish. We want to be transformed. Scripture says that one of our main calls in life is to become like him. So that is the discipleship walk. And there has to be growth happening, and growth doesn't happen without change. So there's a bit of discomfort there. There's a bit of pain there. You know, I remember having growth pains growing up, right? In fact, at one point I grew so fast, and the fast growing and lots of exercise, they said if I continue like this, they're going to put me in a cast. I got this disease in my knees. It comes from too much growing and too much exercise. And they said if I continue, they're going to put me in a cast from here down. So I said, okay, no, I'll do whatever you tell me. I don't know what I mean. So they said, I'm not allowed to run for a year. Can you imagine that for a 14-year-old boy? Anyway, I didn't listen, but I did listen a little bit. Didn't do any serious sport. But there is growth often involves pain because there's change happening and there's stuff that's changing. And if we want to grow in maturity, then things will have to change. Jesus is not the one changing. We are the ones that change. Okay, so we see this context of the whole body. So let's look a bit more at that. We're going to look at the book of Corinthians. There's a couple of scriptures from Corinthians. Now, Corinthians is a wonderful book, both of them, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and it's also called the book of correction. You know, and it's really for me challenging, but also encouraging to see how Apostle Paul writes to these people. It's clear that he writes to people that he loves. He really cares about them. They are not complete strangers, right? He was involved with, you know, from the start, and many of them he knows personally. There's a personal connection, and he cares deeply for these people. But then, in some parts, he is really straight with them. And that encourages me, because you can see that because he loves these people so much, he says, listen, guys, let's talk straight here. This can't go on like this. And he corrects it. We call the book of correction. So he gives correction. He says, this is not right. This can't go on like this. We need to change things, all right? So it's out of love, but there's also some very straightforward points there. So, but let's look at what he says in Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Yes, I'm going to skip a few verses, so just stick with me. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, it does not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. If we were all the same. Strange and boring, right? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, and let's continue verse 22. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. So we see this beautiful dynamic it introduces. This is also the New Living Translation. And it talks about how God has put each part where it needs to be. And that is the dynamic that we need, and that in the church family like this, when we look at discipleship, that we recognize each one of us here, God has put us where we need to be. And each one of us have got a specific role to play. Each one of us has a role to play. Each one of us has a very important role to play. Now, you may have heard, I've been spoken about it once or twice briefly, but I've been asked to coach the Biliki rugby at David's school. So that means I'm running around on the field with 4 and 5 year olds with a little egg-shaped ball. And it's really actually quite chaos, you know, and it's a lot of fun. But now with Biliki rugby, they don't tackle, they have these tags that they pull off. It's like these Velcro, these strips of material that are Velcro to the sides of their trousers. So they don't tackle yet. I had to explain that to David, because of the first practice, he just flattened the guys. And I said, listen, this is blessed. I know we practice this at home, but apparently we're not allowed to do this here. So he was quite disappointed. But in any case, So, in Biliki rugby, there are no positions. Okay? In fact, I'm very glad about that, because that would be very complicated. But they know they need to take this ball and run with it. That's what they know. If they know which direction, it's a win. Okay? Because it's more difficult than you think, you know? So, it's hilarious, you know? So, they grab the ball and they just go in any direction. And they don't care about lines. Lines don't matter. Touch lines don't matter. Try lines don't really matter. They just run. And sometimes they just run a little, you know, as you run when you play tag or when you play, you know, fangarki or something. Yeah, it's very funny to see. But it's proper chaos. But if you can get them to run in the right direction, it's amazing. You know, and there's some of the guys that have got it. They take the ball. They just go straight. It's amazing. So there are no positions, but if I can get them to understand and agree that the purpose that we are all here today together is to get that ball across that specific line. The other lines are also important, but that line is the important one. If we have a unity and we agree around that, then we're going to get somewhere, right? But what makes it difficult is there aren't any positions. So they all do the same thing. But if you watched any other kind of team sport, mostly there are very specific positions. And you might have seen this happen, and you may have experienced this in a team sport, but there's a real blessing when everybody plays in a position that they are really good at. There's a real blessing. And you know, all of us couch coaches that coach the rugby, the Springboks from the living room, you know, we always know better. That's how it works. But it's very frustrating when you feel the coach is playing somebody out of his position. Have you experienced that? Or the other extreme is if the big guy is standing on the wing and he has, you know, that sometimes happens. Sometimes it works out, often it doesn't happen when the prop is on the wing and he just doesn't have the speed. But so the blessing is if somebody is doing what they are good at and they are being played in their specific area of expertise. It's just blessing. It's a blessing to everybody. Are you with me? My dad had the story when he was just starting to play rugby. He didn't have a dad. His dad passed away when he was 4, so he didn't have a clue about rugby. He got there to the first practice. The coach checked him out like this, and I think he was grade 2 or something, and he said to him, listen, you're going to be fullback. You're going to take care of the posts. And he stood there the whole, there was like a practice game, and he took care of those two. He stood in the middle between them, and he looked after the posts. The guys were calling tries left and right, but he made sure nobody touched nobody touched the post. Any case, so he didn't understand. He didn't understand his position. The coach saw this quite quickly, and he said, okay, listen, let's stick you in the scrum. You're going to be better. Any case, but if you and I, get a revelation. What is the thing that, in the context of discipleship, in the context of reaching people, in the context of loving people and reaching somebody with the message of the cross, what is it that I am good at? Where do I fit into this team? There's such a blessing in that. And I've experienced that dynamic, and It is such a blessing. You know, a friend of mine years ago, he said something that I just chuckled about. He said, he's very loud. He's very outgoing. He just talks to any stranger. But his wife is not like that. But he knows if he can just get that person in the door of their house, then the rest is fine. Because then she is amazing. She hosts. She blesses them. But she can't just talk to any random stranger. So they've got this understanding that if he can just get them over the, you know, into the house, he knows they're going to be blessed. He knows they're going to experience the love of God. Amen? So they have kind of understood that dynamic. It's a little bit similar in our house. But years ago, I remember also going to birthday parties as a student and young working person, and I would arrive at the party, I would be really blessed that I was invited to a 21st or something like that. Sometimes I would be a bit surprised, I didn't really know that person that well. And they said, listen, Jochen, I've put you at the table next to my cousin. They don't know God at all. So I'm really, I've put you there specifically. I was like, okay, great, that's fine, you know. And they clearly had a perception of what is my position on the team. So they just made sure this guy is next to me. And then they were like, okay, you go for it now. You do your thing, yeah? But I didn't have a problem with that because that was, I loved doing that. I loved chatting about just, and my sister always got frustrated with me because she would share the good news with somebody or testify, and then she would get swore, you know, people would swear at her and people would just be hectic with her. And then I would come to somebody, complete stranger, and they would just accept Christ on the spot, you know. So clearly there was different positions there as well. But there's such a blessed dynamic when we begin to understand. I don't have to always do the whole thing. I don't have to scrum and run and kick and throw in the ball in the line out and then catch it again and score. I don't have to do all the positions. But if I can get that guy to the right place, if I can position myself. And you know, guys, over the years, the Lord has really, it's just been faithful. And in Shofar, we've, in different parts of the body, we do things a bit differently, but basically we're doing the same thing. We call it different things. You know, we've got discipleship tools, we've got structures in place. Churches call them different things, but there are amazing opportunities to connect people with the gospel. And I remember early on, I didn't have a confidence to tell somebody the whole encounter seminar content before I actually got involved in actually teaching the content. So it's not like everybody here should be able to sit down with their colleagues, say, listen, let's do a life encounter today and just go for it. Okay, I don't think that's realistic or attainable. But what we can do is say, listen, your friend from the cycling club or your gym or whatever, we've got this seminar happening on Saturday. Actually, it's on the 26th. Don't you want to join me? It's such great stuff we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about faith. Don't you want to come with me? There's free muffins and coffee. But the point is, you don't have to know all that stuff or be confident to communicate it. But if you and I can recognize my part here is to invite somebody and to go with them to encounter. Or maybe the small group is going to be their scene. The small group braai or the social, or the like the other day we took the guys to Rosemary Hill and we just had a great cycle and some guys did a run and some guys just ate. But that's also fine. But, you know, such an easy place to invite somebody to. Are you with me? And what is my place? How can I be a part of the team that's going to walk this road of somebody being connected to Christ and then growing in Christ? Discipleship is a team sport. And we have, every person here has a role to play. Every person has a position. And I'm trusting this morning that something's going to stir in us for us to say, Lord, where do I fit in? How can I get involved? But also, where can I position myself along with those that I'm praying for and reaching out to? Does that make sense? So we've got the encounter seminars that are running. We've got Bible school that's running. We've got small groups happening. We've got different kinds of outreaches like the college one this week. We've got women's mornings and men's things from time to time. All of those are places where I can think, you know what, this thing is going to work for my neighbor. I want to bring them. I don't know all the material. I tell that story of when I got on a bus from Cape Town to Joburg. I knew it was going to be 18 hours, so I packed in the encounter material, right? So I don't think that's realistic for all of us. At that point, that was what I did at church. That was my thinking area. I was part of the presenting team at the encounter, the life encounter. So that was my thing, right? So that makes sense to me. I took along some material, and the poor person next to me didn't have a choice, you know. By the time we got to Worcester, they made a commitment to Christ. By the time we got to Lanesburg, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then the baptism was a problem. But the point I'm making is that was my thing. That was what I was comfortable with. And I actually was prepared on the trip to minister to whoever God would send. But what is your thing? What encounter can you get involved in? We then have them every week. They happen, some of them only once or twice a year. But each of them have a specific part, right? Even at Bible school, we've got volunteers helping. It's small groups. I think small group is everybody's thing, I'm just saying. So don't think, oh yeah, small group is my thing. But So Sundays is everybody's thing. Small group is everybody's thing. But what else? Where else can you be part of the team? And how can you bring somebody? How can you connect somebody with the family? And that's why I chose this title, said Meeting the Family. You know, whether it be a girlfriend or a boyfriend or just a friend, there's always that thing when they meet your family for the first time. I don't know if it was like that with you, but there's a little bit of embarrassment, you know, because some of them are a bit odd, you know, on our family. You don't choose your family. But then, you know, you mature a little bit and you realize, you know what, this is it. This is who we are. Gerald Dell wrote this book, My Family and Other Animals. You know, so it's a little bit like that. And I remember being like that. I was thinking, you know what, I'm not going to be embarrassed anymore. This is who they are. Each of them are a blessing in their own way. You know, I've got an incredible creative family. Some of them are genius at what they do. Some have got odd sense of humor. Others, you know, but each one is incredible and a massive blessing. So it's the same with our family. Isn't there a blessing to invite somebody to the social that we have and say, you know what, come and meet the family. I'm not gonna apologize for all of them. Some are a bit odd, but they're all going to bless you. Each one of them has got something special that you're going to benefit from. And what happens when we embrace that dynamic is, you know, and I've seen this in my own life, there's a place where if I connect somebody to Christ, they see something in me. They see Christ in me, right? And maybe they have an encounter with him and they are transformed. They have encountered Christ through something they've seen, something they've experienced through my life, and they are transformed because of the power of Christ. But if they don't soon meet other parts of the family, they're going to start thinking, Yaku is the great guy in this equation. Or maybe put your name in there. But once they come to small group and say, wow, this is not a once-off. This is a norm here. Everybody is like that. I see that same love in these guys' eyes. I see that same acceptance. Wow, this is not just one guy at my workplace that is extraordinary individual. No, this is people that are following Jesus. Or they come to church and they're like, wow, there's a love here. There's a hospitality here. There's an acceptance here that I thought is just special to this person. Are you with me this morning? So when they meet the family, they recognize, wow, this is a wonderful bunch of people. And what they have in common is that they are following Christ. So that's where the power lies. The excellence of the power is not of us, but of him. Amen? So it's important for people to see that it's not a one-off. It's not just this one special person, but wow, there's a whole body. There's a whole movement, there's a whole church of Jesus Christ that are following the same King, and that is where the power lies. Okay, let's go on a little bit. I want to actually just quickly mention that we all have to get to our bless our moms with lunch, so we will soon finish. But I want to quickly look at an example in Acts chapter 8. I'm going to read it quite quickly, just a brief account here what happened. Therefore, those who were scattered and went everywhere preaching the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. Now, Philip is then an evangelist. That's his thing. He preaches the gospel. People get saved. There's signs and wonders, miracles happening. People respond to the good news, okay? So that's the first connection with the gospel. And then we see verse 14. Now, when the apostles, this is a little day or so later, I assume, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John. Now, this is not half an hour drive, okay? They had probably walked for a day or so. They heard that Samaria had received the word. They sent Peter and John to them. When they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. So can you see this dynamic? Philip does his thing. Then the apostles hear what's going on. They say, okay, let's send some guys to do some follow-up. Let's take the guys to the next step. There's a team dynamic here. Can you see that? Philip is still going for it. He's not slowing down. He knows this is what he's good at. He's preaching the gospel. He's connecting people with Christ. People are being saved and healed. Miracles are happening. But then Peter and John are coming. Peter and John came and they said, okay, let's see. What's the next step in the discipleship process? They've received the word. They've been baptized in water. Let's pray for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And the discipleship journey is going. Can you see that? I just wanted to throw that in. It's such a great example from Scripture right there. Okay. And then finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the end of chapter 10, the first verse of chapter 11. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I too, this is Paul writing again, I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. We love that one, and it's the one I wanted to quote, but if a sentence starts with "and," you know, it's important to just go and check what's before the "and." And in this case, it was at the beginning of a chapter. So remember that when the Bible was written, it wasn't written with verses and numbers and chapters. So sometimes it's important just to go check what's happening in the previous chapter. And it fits for me so nice. He says, I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. I'm looking out for others. I'm looking, how can I connect people with the gospel? What is best for my neighbor, my friend, my colleague, my family? Remember that many may be saved. And then he says something powerful. He says, I want you to imitate what I'm doing as I imitate Jesus. And this is the key. When it becomes a one-man show and a one-man game, yes, there's power in discipleship. When I take ownership of somebody, I want to pray for them. And I want to say that's very important. If you have a conviction to pray for a friend or a colleague or a family member, don't outsource that to the family. Yes, you can ask people to pray with you, but you and I have the conviction about that person. Then you and I take ownership. You take ownership of that one. Amen? I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite. I'm going to bring them to the social. If there isn't the right social for them, I'm going to make one. I'm going to start one. I'm going to say, listen, guys, I'm going to initiate one. Amen? So don't outsource or don't pass on that conviction and that responsibility. But when it comes to when we come into this team game, the key thing is I am inviting somebody to follow and to imitate me because I am imitating Christ. So in fact, I'm not connecting them to myself. I'm connecting them to Jesus. And that happens much more powerfully when we do it as a team. Amen? Are you with me this morning? So as we're connecting them with small group, they recognize, wow, there's a whole bunch of guys that love me and support me and pray for me because they're all following Jesus. They are being connected to Christ. What is your position this morning? I have to be really honest with you. There's a chunk of my Christian walk as a young Christian where I was a spectator to a very big, big degree. Where I was receiving a blessing and I was being fed to a certain extent, but I was not on the field where it came to the real important things. I was not even on the field. I was not even at practice. And there was a big shift that had to happen in my life where I had to realize, whoa, I need to get on the field. God has got a place for me there. And again, look at the eye and the hand and all those dynamics. Don't compare yourself. If I'm, you know, if you're the the massive tall lock. Don't compare yourself with a scrum half that can run everywhere through everything. It's not the same. You don't have to do the same thing. So don't compare. But trust God, Lord, what is my place? What is my position? How can I connect somebody to you? How can I get somebody to meet the family and be blessed and walk this road? Amen. Let's stand this morning together. Guys, to a certain extent, we're getting this. When I have a crisis in my life, or I hear about somebody that has a crisis and it needs prayer immediately, I have specific people that I ask to pray because I know that's their thing. Amen? I know they're going to pray. I know they know how to pray. And I know they're going to go for it because they have a conviction that that is part of their position on the field. Are you with me? In the same way, some of us know, I need to put my neighbor who's not born again, I need to put him next to that friend of mine at the party because I know they're going to hear the gospel. Because that's their thing. I'm asking this morning, I'm asking that question, what is your thing? What is your position on the field? And how can we as a team and as a family have a much greater impact together as each one finds his space? How can we find that dynamic of unity, saying, you know what, each of us look different here this morning. Praise God for that. Each of us are skilled differently, are gifted differently. The context of 1 Corinthians 12 are the gifts of the Spirit. He introduces the gifts and he says, guys, the gifts happen in the context of the body. Everybody's different. But we need each come to the party. Otherwise, it's not going to work. The body cannot function as it should if there are bits missing, right? And then the next chapter, he speaks about love, 1 Corinthians 13, and he says, we see in part, but one day we will see the whole picture. For now, each one of us needs to bring the part that they see. Otherwise, we're in trouble. Each one of us has to bring their bit. And we see the glory of God arising over our city, over our nation, over our families, over our communities. When each one brings their bit. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great love. Every soul on the face of this planet. Thank you for your great love, Lord, that you demonstrated when you sent your Son Jesus to pay the price for every single soul, every living soul, those that have died, those that are still coming. Thank you, Lord, that you paid for each one. It is your desire, it is your purpose, it's your desire for each one to come to the knowledge of your love, Lord, to come to knowledge of your saving grace. Lord, this morning we acknowledge that some of us are not on the field. Some of us are being blessed and receiving, and we are maybe watching, and we encourage maybe, and we even challenge, but some, like I had to realize, I'm not on the field, I'm not engaging, I'm not standing in my position. My team is struggling because they're short a man. They're short a team member. This morning I pray that you press on our hearts. You say, come. Arise. Shine. For your light has come. Come. Join in. Join the family. Don't try to be like everybody else, but find your place. Find your position. Seek, pursue the gifts. Seek His face. How can I and position yourself so that those that God has put around us that will receive the blessing Father, we thank you, Holy Spirit, this morning. You stir in us, Lord, an urgency to get onto the field, an urgency to take up tools and get into the harvest field. Tools look different, roles are different, but Lord, let's thank you for urgency this morning for each one to get into the field, get amongst the harvest, get there, get our hands dirty, get there where it's uncomfortable. There where we're going to grow. There where we're going to be challenged. There where we're going to be transformed to be more like Jesus. In the harvest. Among the need. Among the, in the mess of life. That's where we will be transformed. Stir our hearts, Lord, with the love that sent Jesus to the cross. Stir our hearts with the compassion that had Jesus look upon the multitude and weep. Move with compassion because it said they're weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Stir our hearts with that same compassion. Move with us, Lord, that we would not just leave here having heard a wonderful, having heard your word, Lord, but leaving here making changes, leaving here making plans, leaving here making decisions, leaving here committing to change, committing to get onto the field. Stir our hearts, God, in Jesus' name. As every eye is closed this morning, I'm not going to call you forward, but if you know that you need to find your position, or you need to get onto the field, or you need, maybe you've taken a break, maybe you've been injured, or maybe you've been out of the game for a bit, and this morning you know, the Spirit, Holy Spirit is stirring your heart and saying, come. Just want you, where you are standing, just to raise your hand, just to show God, Lord, here I am. I'm not going to call you forward. I want just to indicate to you, Lord, here I am. I want to say yes again. I want to say yes, God. I want to find that place. Show me your way. Show me that abundance for every good work. Show me your provision. Thank you for boldness now, Lord, in Jesus' name, for every heart. Thank you, Lord, for grace to know that the treasure is of you, Lord, and the power, the excellence of the power is of you, not of us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Right now we trust, Lord, that you'd direct our steps again. You'd stir our hearts, Lord. You'd open our eyes to see the opportunities, that you'd open our eyes and you'd give us boldness to make those invitations, Lord, to open the doors that need to be opened, in Jesus' name, to walk in the way that you've already prepared. Eyes are still closed this morning. If there's anybody here this morning, if you're here and you've been challenged maybe by some of the things we've been talking about, but in your heart of hearts you know that you've not yet taken the first step. You know that you've not yet committed to following Christ yourself. As you may be here this morning, maybe you've been invited, but you know that you're not right with Him. You don't have a relationship with Him right now. Maybe you've had in the past. Maybe right now you feel afar off. That you feel a tugging on your heart. And if that's you this morning and you feel that you want to respond to the grace of God right now, you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, you want to choose this morning to repent of your sin, to accept His gift of salvation and to follow Him. As every eye is closed, won't you raise your hand for a moment? I'd love to pray with you this morning. That's you. If you want to respond to that invitation of His grace, He's extending it to you this morning. Is there anybody like that? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your great grace. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Even this week, Lord, by the grace of your great grace and the power of your Spirit, we ask that this word will be a good fruit in our lives, Lord. Ask in Jesus' name for boldness, Lord, to pray, Lord, boldness to ask the questions, boldness to pursue your will, boldness to position ourselves, whether it be serving encounters or where it may be, Lord. Holy Spirit, let your kingdom come. Lord God, let your kingdom come in and through our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go and bless your mom. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy some family time. That's your planning.
We're going to be back here this evening. So please join us if you can, or invite somebody. Remember, if you want to volunteer at Empower 21, to let us know. Okay. Thanks so much. Join us for some refreshments. And if there's anybody, if you want to respond to the message specifically, if you need any prayer, if you need somebody to pray for you for healing, whatever your need is, God has made a way. Amen. So please join us in the front if you'd like some prayer. Thanks so much. God bless.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.